So this is the workshop on stress, and I actually brought my French press. So those of you who've never had French press, I'm going to show you how it works. And thought it was interesting that she gave me this topic, and that's all I use is a French press. So I am Brenda Love, and I teach at Emmanuel Christian Academy. I teach English in the high school. My husband is a pastor. We live in Colchester, and we have lived out here for 11 years. It'll be 12 years in July. I have 4 children, and they are all grown or in college, and so I'm here teaching with you and excited to show you something from God's Word. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we do love you. We thank you for your Word. Lord, it's your Word that changes our lives. Thank you that your Word is alive. Thank you that you can look into our hearts, and you know where we struggle. And thank you that through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can change and that we don't have to struggle through this life without victory. And we just look forward to what you're going to do in our hearts even today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So how many of you are here because you feel like you're stressed? You struggle with stress. Okay, so how many of you are here because you just thought it might be an interesting topic? No? Okay, how many of you are here because you've tried to deal with it and you haven't figured out anything that works? Okay, all right. So I think that we're going to look at a new topic in an old way. And I think you'll understand that as we go through the passages of Scripture, because here's the great thing. The canon of problems was done when the canon of Scripture was done. That is not original with me. I read that in a book, a very good book that I might recommend to you at the end of the session. But guys, God is not surprised by what happens in our lives. He gave us everything that we need for life and godliness, including dealing with stress. So I don't know if you know what stress is. Do you know where it comes from? Do you know, is it good? No. Can be? Is it bad? Yeah. Can be? Are you stressed?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't have everything in my notes on your outline, but I do want to show you what a French press is, okay? So, interesting story. You'll see, most French presses are very pretty. They're glass. I had 2 of those, and they broke. I put too much stress on my French press because when I would dump out the grounds, I would bang it against the side of my... You know, I'd pull out my garbage and I'd bang it to get rid of the grounds, and I broke 2 or 3 of them. And so finally, one year for Mother's Day, my daughter went to Starbucks and she bought me the heavy duty, extra sturdy, ugly French press. But it works, and you can tell I use it a lot because all the wood is gone from the side. Now they have these really pretty black ones there that I probably should go buy because it's so pretty. But I love my French press. So when she mentioned this morning, how many of you have had French press? This is all I use. Now, I was assigned this topic, and I was like, oh, this is perfect, because how many of you in here have had French press coffee? It's about half of you. I don't know that the first time I ever had French press coffee, I appreciated it. Now, I think it's all I use.
Is it stronger coffee? I don't know anything about it.
Well, we're going to talk about that as we go through. So for me, it is, yeah. You know, I put a lot of coffee in mine. So, and we're going to, obviously, we're going to talk about the French press, but we're not going to quite attack it the way that Kelly talked about it. We're going to use it as stress. So I am going to actually turn the water on, okay? And we'll make some French press. So I put... I'll talk about this as we go on. I did bring some cups. You'll probably have to put cream in it, but I don't put cream in my coffee. So, since we're on the coffee topic, my coffee, I'm kind of a snob, aren't I? Am I not? My coffee has to be fresh, and I like it dark, and I like it the way I like it, or I'm not going to drink it. So, church coffee for me is... So I started making the church coffee at our church because I like good coffee. So I want you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And I put the verse in here for you because this is something that the Lord has been working on me through this last year especially. Philippians chapter 4. The verse is on your outline. I forgot to put the passage of scripture there, the reference. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Ladies, did you know that the word stress is not anywhere in the Bible? In fact, I put the definition up here. This is from the dictionary. It says, a state of mental tension or strain resulting from adverse or very demanding circumstances. And then on the other side of that, it is the body's way of responding to any kind of demand. So let me ask you this. If the French press is stress, what does that make you? You're the coffee. You're the bean. Did you ever think of yourself as a bean? Now you can, okay? You're a ground up bean. If the French press is the stress in our lives, that's what a press does. Okay, so and as soon as the water boils, I'll put it in here. But you're the bean, ladies. So that's what our outline is today. We're going to talk about the coffee beans because we all have stress in our lives, don't we? And the French press just presses down on us. That is what the stress does, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. In fact, last year, there was over $300 billion spent in the workplace for annual cost to employers in stress-related health care and missed work. $300 billion. $300 billion. There are 54% of people who said stress has caused them to fight with people close to them. Mm-hmm. 48% people say stress has a negative impact on their personal and professional life. Would you say that? Mm-hmm. All right. These are the major causes for external stress are life changes, work. How many of you work? Or school. How many of you are working and going to school? Okay. Relational difficulties, relationship difficulties. How many of you have ever had a relationship difficulty in your life? Okay. Financial problems. Being too busy. Children and family. This pretty much covers our lives, doesn't it? Okay. Here are the causes for internal stress. Pessimism. Inability to accept uncertainty. Rigid thinking. Lack of flexibility. Negative self-talk. Unrealistic expectations, which we've talked a lot about. Perfectionism. These are all causes for stress. Let me read you something. This is from a website. It's Stress in America. It says, for the past decade, the American Psychological Association Stress in America survey has examined how stress affects American adults' health and well-being. This year's survey took a deeper look at technology and social media to better understand their link to stress, relationships, and overall health and well-being. The survey showed nearly all adults, 99%, that's a really high percentage for those of you who don't do math, that's 99 out of 100, own at least one electronic device, including a television. How many in this room own an electronic device? Pretty sure that's everybody. There's nobody living out on the backwoods survivalist in here. Okay, those are the only people who don't. Okay, I'm going to turn this off. And in just a second, I'm going to pour it in here. The survey showed that nearly 99% own at least one electronic device. Almost 9 in 10, 86% own a computer, 74% an internet-connected smartphone, and 55% own a tablet. Research also shows that the percentage of American adults using social media increased from 7% to 65% between 2005 and 2015. Mm-hmm. I am not a social media junkie, and yet here I am on social media. It happens, and it's like the microwave. You think first it's something that maybe you could use, and then all of a sudden you can't live without it. Mm-hmm. It increased from 7 to 65% among young adults, 18 to 29. The number is even higher. 9 in 10 reported using social media in 2015 compared to 12% in 2005. Adoption rates among all groups of new and emerging technologies and social media have climbed to enormous proportions with Facebook and Instagram. Here's the interesting thing. The most stressful aspect of social media is Americans say technology causes the most stress when it doesn't work. Okay, so we've here, and this is my point in this, is that we cause a lot of our own stress, don't we? So we're going to try to take a biblical look at this. All right, now I'm going to show you. Because the idea is you have to boil the water. All right? Many of you made French press coffee? Okay, good. All right, that's all you use. Good girl. That's why you wanted to come, right? Okay, so, and then you already have the grounds in here. And we'll talk about the grounds later, but the grounds are in the bottom. You just pour it in. It's going to spill. I didn't bring cream in here, so if you guys want some later, you're going to have to go get the cream. And it's going to sit a lot longer than 4 minutes.
Is there a filter in there? Or just put the grounds
in there? I'll show you, Sue. Filter's right here, okay? So the filter, you sit it in, you just set it in here in the top.
Wait, so you put the grounds in.
Grounds are in the bottom.
And then you just pour the water in, so it's just floating everywhere? Mm-hmm.
Yep. But you have that handy-dandy screen at the top. And I don't want to tell you everything right now. It'll ruin the illustration. So I'll just set it right here, actually.
Wait, and then it has to sit?
Yeah. Now, she said 4 minutes.
This is longer than a Keurig.
Oh, but it's... Time out. For those of you listening to this, I just have to put this in. There is just no comparison between a Keurig and a French press. That's like Kraft macaroni cheese and mom's homemade fettuccine alfredo. It's just, just not the same. It's worth every, it's okay. It's really okay. Don't.
I would wait 10 minutes.
So my kids are all French press snobs. Okay, we are like the coffee Nazis at our house. And my kids will leave it for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I know, right?
It's worth it.
Kids, see, here's a girl after my own heart. We leave ours for at least 5 minutes because we like dark coffee. But we'll get to that. So if you still want some at the end of the session, I brought cups so you can have some. All right. So where is the word stress found in the Bible? It's not. Ladies, we have created a stressed world. And it is of our own making. I get very weary of the word stress. In fact, the word stress comes in the 1930s. There was a man named Hans, I don't even know how to pronounce his name, Selye, something like that. He popularized the idea of stress. Now, this is after the Industrial Revolution. Because before that, whenever you talked about stress, you were just talking about a difficult circumstance. After the Industrial Revolution, obviously, we had all these science guys who talked about, you know, fabrics and materials that were, you know, could it withstand stress. So it became known as that. And then there was a guy, his name was Walter Cannon, in 1932, came up with the idea of fight or flight. And that's where stress is a good thing, right? You know, you either have to run or you have to stand and fight. And that's where we started talking about the word stress. But by the 19th century, it was how they made it into a metaphor where it was just the idea of you get to that point where you're going to snap. And that's how we think of stress. But it is not in the Bible. Now, do you know what word is in the Bible? Distress. And everything that I looked up is the fact that somebody took the idea of distress and they just shortened it to stress. Mm-hmm. And the word stress comes from a Latin word which means tight. It's the word is strictus, okay? So it's this tight. And when you have tension, what happens? If you play the violin, you have that E string, which is it pops. And that's what happens. So can stress be a bad thing? Absolutely. But I think that as believers, what has happened over the years is that we have set it up on this pedestal of its own making, and we think God didn't know what he was doing when he wrote the Bible because we have to have something else to deal with stress when really God's word gives us everything and we just don't know how to respond to stress in our lives. And that's this last year, one of the things that God has shown me, because that word distress, you know what it literally means? Is a narrow place. When Paul talks about being in distress, if you look up the Greek word, it just means a narrow place, not... Tell me, those coffee beans are not in a narrow place. And you know what happens when you press it down? It's like in the movies where the walls are coming in. Okay, that's what happens. And if those beans were alive and had little personalities, they would be like, help, help. You know, I'm losing my space because it's pressing down on me. That's what a French press does. And that's what stress does in our lives. So So let's look at some keys to using the French press. Number one, the beans must be ground to a specific setting. If you use a cone filter, how many of you make coffee with that and you have a cone filter? You probably use a pretty fine ground. Okay, that's my guess. All right, so you have a paper filter in there or one that you can use over and over again. And it has a very fine mesh screen. Well, in a French press, what happens is if you have very finely ground coffee, somebody mentioned this earlier, the grounds float up through that screen. Well, there's nothing worse than having grounds in your coffee, right, Sue? No, so you have to grind the coffee very specifically. And you have to actually, I don't even have one, so I have Starbucks grind mine. This is one of my favorites, Casi Cielo. It comes out in February or January, right after Christmas, and I have them grinded there, and they grind it for the French press. It's kind of a coarse ground, but they use a burr grinder, which is all these little saw teeth rather than a blade. And the reason that they use that burr grinder is that it all of the beans are chopped the same size. Mm-hmm. So you know how when you chop up potatoes and you don't chop them evenly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you got one that's mush and one that's hard. Mm-hmm. That's what happens with the beans. The flavor is not extracted evenly. And so you get too much out of one bean and you don't get enough out of another. And that's what happens if you don't let it sit long enough either. It's just this watery, nasty taste from the coffee. So you have to have it set on the right setting. How does that apply to us? You got to delight in God's word, ladies. You have to be, your spiritual grind has to be set on God's word. At every moment of every day, it is the only thing. I could stop right here. It's the only thing that changes your lives. And in order to delight in God's word, you have to meditate on God's word, which means to have a mental conversation with yourself. Do you realize we meditate every day? Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're just meditating on how much you hate your neighbor or how much you hate your boss. You're still meditating. Did you know that?
Sure.
You're meditating, and if you're not meditating on God's word, let me read. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going through 1 Peter in my ladies' class right now. Verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Do you know how to gird up the loins of your mind? Do you know how to gird up anything?
Yeah.
Okay, in Bible times, the soldiers, or the men, all wore robes. So in order to gird up, to run into battle, have you ever tried to run in a maxi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't. So you have to take up, I wish I had a maxi on. So you have to take that up and you pull it up between your legs and they would tuck it in the belt of truth. They would gird up that, and you stick it in there and you have to run everything through the truth. And Peter is telling us the same thing. Ladies, you got to guard your thoughts. Your thoughts, everything that goes into your heart comes through your mind. And if we don't gird up the loins of our mind, just picture that. No, don't picture me, but picture that. Girding up and putting it, and you got to run it through the sieve of God's word. Because if you don't, you're going to be meditating on the wrong things. Jim Berg says in his book, Quieting a Noisy Soul, which I would highly recommend, you got to track your thinking. What are you thinking about? Chances are is if you are stressed on a daily basis, you're thinking about the wrong things. Or you're thinking about the right things in the wrong way. Ephesians 6:14, that is the armor of God. Wherefore, in order to stand. What do you have? The first thing that Paul tells us to do.
Stand firm.
And then you got to gird up your loins with the truth. We have the truth of God's word, ladies, and we allow our minds to go places that they never were intended to go. And again, if you have the opportunity to go through and study the armor of God, it starts with our minds and our thoughts. You have to track our thinking. Isaiah 26:3, I don't think I put that verse on there. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Now let me ask you something, Isaiah 26:3. Tell me some people who might have been stressed in the Bible. Who?
David.
Why was he stressed?
He put his own stress on himself.
No, he did, some of it, yeah. Like Bathsheba was his own fault.
Saul.
Okay, Saul was trying to kill him. Now, do you think that was a stressful situation?
Yes.
Anybody been attacked, like, in a back alley or something, and somebody tried to kill you? Nope, that's we can check that off. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, when I was younger.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I can honestly say my brothers were mean, but they never were that mean. They took my heads off of my Barbie dolls, and that was the extent of that. Okay. So who else was in a stressful situation?
Job.
Who?
Job.
Yeah, I would say you lose everything.
Yeah.
Who else? Joseph. Yikes. Yeah, he was in prison. Do you think he got therapy when he was in prison? Just think, ladies, think about that. Did he? No. And what does the Bible say every time something happened? It says, Joseph says, and he knew that the Lord was with him. Mm-hmm. Who else was it in stressful situations?
John.
John. John the Baptist. How was he in a stressful situation? Got his head chopped off. Yeah, okay, yes. All right, think about Paul. How many of you have been whipped within an inch of your life? Anybody? Led down over a wall in a basket? No? How many of you have to live with the thought that you persecuted, as she mentioned yesterday, persecuted people and caused their death? You think that wasn't stressful? Think about Peter, all right? Why was he writing to the believers in Rome? Does anybody know why he was writing to the believers? Nero was the emperor at the time that Peter was writing. The believers had been dispersed. They were all over modern-day Turkey. They had no home. When they lost Rome, they lost not only their home, they lost their culture. That was their life, and they were dispersed. Do you know if you read through Peter, he never says, "Oh man, I'm so sorry. You know, let me get you an appointment with who?" No, he says, "You know what? You got to gird up the loins of your mind. Do you realize who you are? You're a believer. You are in Christ. You have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. Now listen, you got to put away all of that and realize you got to live in this world as light in the darkness." And then he goes on, the very next thing he said, "And then you need to submit to these people who are over you. You got to honor the king. You got to honor the emperor. You got to honor these people. You got to submit to them." Nowhere, you can read, ladies, I will challenge you, read through anybody that you can think of in the Word of God that was going through stressful times, and never does it say, "Poor you." Now, do we get into situations that are beyond our making? Yes. I'm not saying that at all. Are there times that we need help? Absolutely. Do we need counseling? Absolutely. But I think we've begun to think about stress as something that's it's out of God's realm of possibility to help. And we're not even starting at the Word of God, which as believers is what, that's where we should start. But if your grind, if your life is not delighting in God's Word and meditating on God's Word, when those stressful times come, you are going to feel stressed out. Now, can I tell you, I studied this a lot, and I really can't come up with any difference between stress and trials and afflictions, probably 95% of the time. We have hard, difficult times, but every time those difficult times come, God uses them in our life. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the next point. All right, number two, the press must be allowed to accomplish its purpose. And what is that? To extract rich flavor from the beans. Can you turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians? If you have your Bibles with you or your phones, just don't be checking the internet. Just go to your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you realize the press is not the enemy? The press is doing its job. Press is pressing the beans. I probably should press it, shouldn't I? Now, here's the problem. Just this is not part of the session. You press this down. If you leave it too long like this, you know what happens? You tell me what happens. What happens to the coffee if it sits there for too long?
It gets bitter, yeah.
And see, all of the oils, everything is in here. So when you pour... Now, is there anybody who drinks this without cream or sugar or anything? You do? Okay. All right, so if I can see through the coffee, like, this is good, okay? So it's hot.
But so it's not supposed to be dark?
It is. Like, I like it darker than this, but I was afraid to make it darker than this because I wasn't sure anybody would like it. But
I'll try some without. I need to see just because, like, in my culture, we make... Café Pilon or Café Butelo, and it's my grandmother gives us a cup this small, and it's thick as tar, but it's really good.
I like your grandmother, so
It's like espresso on a whole nother level.
Okay.
Like, you don't need no more coffee for 3 days.
3 days.
Jess is going to bring something. I was going to bring cream in here. This is going to be on a podcast, I know, but it's all right. But if the longer you let the set, the more flavor you get. So you can do one of two things. You can, from the beginning, I would have put another scoop or so in there. Okay, so I like 5 scoops for this size, and that's what I put in. I leave it in there for 5 to 10 minutes usually. And I don't use cream or sugar in mine, so I just like a really nice strong flavor. But obviously, ladies, the longer it sits in there, the more flavor is in there. Now think about your life, okay? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 3. It says, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthians, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in what's the next word?
Distresses.
Wow. Yeah. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness. This is where the meditation comes. By knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness. Do you see anything in there that says you need to have an outside source, outside the Word of God? Ladies, be careful when you go to counseling. And I'm trying to be real careful here, but make sure no matter who you go to that you are getting the principles of the Word of God. You can get some really strange ideas out there, and God says, I have the answer. My word is alive and I will help you. But He allows this stress in our lives to see what is there. And it takes, and she mentioned this morning, I think, it takes a process to make a product. That's why you can't, when I first got married, I didn't realize instant coffee was not the same as real coffee. Blah. It's awful, okay? Because there's no process there. It's been freeze-dried. And then it melts, okay? It's not the same. It takes a process. And when you go through distresses, and when you go through afflictions, and when you go through all of these things that you think, it's stressing me out, your response should be, Lord, I don't know how to handle this on my own. You have allowed this into my life, or maybe I have made a mess of things, but you have brought this so that I can be more like you. In all of this, that the ministry be not blamed. He goes all the way down. Look at verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. We have a man in our church who got saved probably 2 years ago. He came out of a drug and rehab situation. We had him over for dinner the other day, and he said, I was making millions of dollars. He said, I lost it all. Gambling, drugs, whatever. He said, I have everything. He has no job. He's had some major medical problems. He said, I wouldn't trade it for anything. You think that wasn't stressful? Now, some of it was of his own making. But ladies, God uses that pressing down in our lives to extract rich flavor. We are in Christ. Mm-hmm. Don't run from that. Okay, now, we're going to get to the other side where we cause our own problems. But number 3, the coffee must be savored, but the grounds must be left. You do not want to drink what's on the other side of that screen. And I guarantee those of you who have it, by the end of this time, if you pour your cup out, you know what you're going to find on the bottom? You're going to find sludge. So the downside to having a French press is that you have to drink it, and then you don't want to let it sit for a long time, because all of that rich oil and flavor, all of that kind of settles down at the bottom. But it's the same thing with situations in our lives. God allows these things into our lives, and yet you don't sit and think, like, what did she say last night? Well, you don't keep petting it. You gotta press on. You have to let that circumstance go. If you keep wallowing in that and thinking on that, it's just like you're drinking the grounds of the coffee. I remember when I first came to teach at Emmanuel, our youngest son was in sixth grade. Yes. And I took over as English teacher, and apparently with the English teacher came the school play. So I was part-time. I'm still part-time. I live a half hour away from school. Adam was just in sixth grade, you know, have church family at home. But the kids begged and begged and begged and begged. And I said, okay, I'll do the school play. Oh, man. I never realized how much energy is expended in a school play. It's teaching is exhausting in itself. Okay, so to stay after school every day and work for a couple hours with kids who, you feel like you're just yelling all the time. You know, I had never done it. I didn't know how to block. I had never directed a school play, but I thought, well, I can do this. Sure. It'll be easy. Piece of cake. I did the school. It was fun, I have to say. And the night of it is like all worth all of the trouble, but it's a lot of work. I did it for 5 years, and every year I thought, I don't know if I have enough energy to do this again. And my husband would say, like, are you going to do it again? Yeah, I think so. Now, was that stressful?
Yeah.
Yes. I did pray about it, but I went into, I was already 40-ish something, 45, I think, when I started teaching. And by the time I get home at 6 o'clock, there just wasn't a whole lot of me left. And after 5 years, I realized, I don't have anything left. Now, I could have kept doing it after that. At that point, that stress became the wrong thing for me. It was, I did not have enough, I owed a responsibility to my husband and my son who was still at home. I owed a responsibility to my classes, which was my first responsibility, to my church family, to so many other things, my own personal spiritual life, obviously. At that point, if I had kept doing that, because this is what was happening, I'd come home and I was just like, oh, I can't do this anymore. It's like these kids are driving me crazy, and I would just feel like totally done in. If you want to say I was stressed out, I was, and I knew at that point it was time for me to quit.
Yeah.
And I had to say no. Now, do you know? Every year since then, they have asked me to do it. I said, I'm sorry, I can't. The kids, please, will you please do the play? I said, no, I can't. That's a situation where, ladies, you have to determine if it's of God, then you embrace it. And if it's not of God, then you have to say, you know what? No, I can't do that. Because
right.
Not everything that's good is of God.
Right.
And you have to determine. Stress and busyness are not the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't call us all to sit, did he? He called us to serve. But he didn't call us to do everything. Because nobody, doing it all does not mean doing it. You can't do it all.
Right.
And that's where we create our own stress. And sometimes it's just the fact that we're too wimpy to say, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. And I started praying about things like that way more. And I hesitate to say that too much because I don't want you to go home and tell your pastor's wife, no, I can't do that. Nope. I can't do that. But we create our own stressful situations where God did not intend. Look at letter B on number 3. This is something that I got from a man, a preacher, years ago. This is Philippians 4:11. When stressful times come into our lives, you have to, number one, you have to acknowledge, I have learned. If you want to write that beside that. The verse is on the next page, I think. I have learned. Oh, yeah, I have learned what? In whatsoever state I am. That's our acceptance. And then you learn to adapt, to be content. And again, I think she hit on that this morning. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Sometimes the situation can't change. Ladies, sometimes you have to change. Sometimes you have to say, you know what, I have to remove myself from this situation. You have 3 options, basically, every time stress comes into your life. Number one, this is not magical, okay? Number one, you can say, all right, Lord, you have this, and I know that you have this in my life, and so I'm going to do my best, and I know that you will give me the strength. I can do all things through Christ. And so I've never taught before, but Lord, I know this is something you put on my heart. I know this is something that you want me to do, and you're going to give me the power to do this. Or, number two, you can say, forget you. I don't care. I'm not doing it. I don't care if you ask me. I don't care if you beg me. I'm not doing it. Or, and then you can whine and cry about it, okay, because you're just too stressed out. Or you can modify the situation. Look, I don't think I can do that, but how about if we do this? And sometimes God just wants us to actually sit down and think about it. People are still asking me, will you teach my kid piano next year? I said, you know, the verdict's still out on that. I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. I'd love to say yes, but I don't know that I can do that. I have a good friend who had to come to that last year. She said, Brenda, I'm getting burned out. I said, well, obviously something needs to go. It can't be your husband and it can't be your kids. So what else do you have on your plate? Well, particular church that she was in, she had, it was like a full-time job. I said, and then what else are you doing? I'm working at the school. And she's not a music person. Music people are highly underrated. And she was teaching private lessons. I said, she thought I was going to say, just suck it up and do it. I said, no, you're going to burn out. You're going to be no use to anybody. Something has to go. And if you look on the next page, did I put this on here for you? Yes. You have to determine God's plan for your life. You have to determine the negotiables and the non-negotiables. Your spiritual life is not a negotiable item. If you don't have time for God, you are too busy. If you don't have, as a married person, if you don't have time for your husband, you are too busy. If you don't have time for your own children, you're too busy. And then whatever God gives you, you are supposed to be serving. That's what he left the local church for. But it doesn't mean you have to do all of the jobs in the local church. And that's where you have to determine what's in my backyard and what just that I love to do. I could say yes to so many things. I've learned that I'm no good to anybody if I'm saying yes to everything. So you have to determine what is negotiable, what is non-negotiable. And I told this girl, you have to let some things go. Otherwise, you are going to crash and burn. And that's where we end up, where we're all stressed out because we allow ourselves to get to this level of crash and burn where we didn't. That's not what God's intention was for our lives as believers. He doesn't want us to go through life, you know, running at full speed and then, you know, crashing into the wall. That's not what he has for us. But we're stupid sometimes, aren't we? And we think we can keep doing this and keep doing this and keep doing this. And I guarantee, I promise you, something will suffer. Yeah. And it's unfortunately, it's usually the things that shouldn't be suffering. I'm sorry, I don't have time to come to church. Why? Well, you know, we had a lot going on this week. And I had to do this and I had to do this. And you're leaving out all of the good things and you're filling your life with all this stuff. Remember what I said about the beans? You have to be ground. You're not going to be ground to the right consistency. God's not going to be able to extract anything but nasty flavor from your life because that's all that you're allowing in there. Determine God's plan for your life each day and ask yourself, you fill in the blank, why am I doing? I have somebody in here who does Friday Fun Day at ECA. She's done it for I don't know how many years. You know, at some point, she may not be able to do Fun Day because life changes, ladies. And just because you can do it for 10 years, maybe that 11th year, that's not what God has for you to do. And what I'm asking you to do is go home and say, Lord, is this what you still want me to do for this next year? Because maybe my kids need me in a way that they never needed before. Maybe your kids are married now, and maybe you have a special needs grandchild and your daughter or your son needs your help. Maybe you have a situation in your church where somebody has gone through some horrific situation and they just need somebody to stand by them. And this, all of a sudden, this thing that you were doing for 4, 5, 6 years, it's really not at the top of your non-negotiable. Yeah. And yet, here's what we do. I can't do this. You're right. You can't. So you have to sit down and say, Lord, help me to reevaluate this and think on things that are true. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then what does the next couple verses say? Think on things that are just and true and pure and honest. He doesn't give us grace for all this stuff that never even happens. We have to think on those things. All right, so what are the dangers in using a French press? Okay, I gave you one. Number one, I didn't know this. I don't work. Okay, boiling water. Now, did you see me boil the water? You did. I did not know this till I started studying all the fine particulars of the French press. I'm not a barista. however, I would love to do that in my free time. You're supposed to boil the water, and then you're supposed to let it set for just a minute. You know why? It ruins the beans. Mm-hmm. Did you know that?
I read about it, yeah.
I didn't. It's like... I wondered why it tasted funny sometimes. Now, by the and again, you can't let this stuff set for a long time, but if you don't get it to a boiling temperature, then the water's not hot enough. You ever have really like watery coffee? So you have, if you have the wrong temperature, the coffee's ruined. And it's expensive for a bag of coffee. Do you really want to ruin the bag? No. So if you have boiling water or if you have tepid water, either way, what does it tell you about your Christian life, ladies? Yeah. What does the Bible say? You're hot or you're cold? But if you're in, right in the middle? But here's the problem is that we're all over the map, okay? We're thinking on things that have nothing to do with Christianity, or we're thinking about nothing. So we're passionately doing. So much so that we have no time to spend with God. Or we're not doing anything. Yeah, let's let her do that. And people wonder why they're struggling in their Christian lives with... Gee, it's really hard to get stressed when you're just serving. And you're serving out of the right heart. And you're serving just because you love God. Because God just brings people into your life. And but if you're living for yourself or you're living for... I think she mentioned this yesterday, too. You're just do. Either one, your life... When stress comes, you're either going to run away or you're going to crash. One of the two. But when you're thinking on what God wants us to think on, then you have this beautiful cup of coffee. All right, the second enemy of a French press is badly ground coffee, and I mentioned this. Too much fine grit makes the pressed coffee muddy and bitter, but a balanced grind makes for rich flavor. Do you know how many times Paul talks about having a balanced life? Yeah, balanced, disciplined life filled with the right stuff in your mind. You think on that thing? Think of it something that really stresses you out. Somebody give me something that's just, it really is a struggle. Yes?
I start cleaning one room. I walk into another room, and I start doing that. Mm-hmm. I go back to the other room I'm working on, then I somehow end up in the third one. Mm-hmm. And then after all that, I have to have it all done before I'll do anything else. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, that's making me stressed just thinking about that process.
My husband's room is
Do you know what? We do that with people too, don't we?
Yeah.
We do. Ah, I gotta fix Kalani. Okay, I got 5 minutes. Okay, so let's work on what we can work on in 5 minutes. Hang on. Jess, what's up? Yeah, I gotta fix Jess. And then I gotta fix
Jordan.
And then it's like, oh, wait. I don't have no time in this day to fix it all.
Yeah.
Okay, so I bet I can't. Oh, okay, so what am I going to do tomorrow? Have you ever had a week like that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like your house.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the key to that? Lord?
Help.
Yes, that's the first thing. Lord, help. And Lord, what do you want me to do today? Number one, you can't fix people. God has to fix the people.
Right.
So lead me to the one that you want me to work with today.
Right.
And maybe it's the same person for 5 weeks, and you just have to say, you know what, you can't fix everybody in your life, and some people take more time, and the same thing with your rooms, okay? Lord, I struggle with this, so help me just to focus on this one room today. He cares about those things, too. Yeah. He doesn't want you to be stressed over that. And honestly, that's just a wrong response to something that's what it is. Lord, it, in the scheme of life, when you get to heaven, it doesn't even matter which room you cleaned first. Did you know that? Praise the Lord, right? Okay? It doesn't. And that's another non-negotiable. Really, Lord, this does not matter today. Help me. You know, if you have time to clean it, great. If not, then just ask God to show you what He wants for you that day. And if you're thinking on that first thing in the morning, you're not going to get stressed. Are we running out of time? Ooh, almost. Okay. All right, so beside this, go to 2 Peter. I love this verse. 2 Peter verses 5 through 8. I'm just going to read it from my sheet. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read that whole passage of Scripture, Ladies, if you're not adding to your faith, which starts with spending time in the Word and then living that out, as she said this morning, living so people can see Jesus in your life, you're going to forget that you're even his child. Says you are going to be short-sighted like I am without my glasses. You cannot see. You are blind. And then when things come, you don't even know how to differentiate between what's important and what's not important. And all of a sudden you feel like life's just coming at you, and you have no resource which to battle it because you haven't girded up the loins of your mind. But Peter says, no, you got to add your faith. And it starts with knowledge and the Word of God, and you have to build on that. All right. Last thing, the enemies of good beans. Oxygen. Don't let your coffee sit out. Don't keep it in an airtight container. Okay, this is real coffee, okay? Keep it in an airtight container. I only brought this because I wanted to show you the bag, but I keep my coffee in a rubber, what do you call it? A canister that has the rubber tight oxygen. Okay, so oxygen is an enemy. You know what happens? It lets all the flavor out, just like it does with any food. Do you leave your food in? What happens to food when the oxygen gets to it? What oxygen is an enemy of anything except our breathing, basically. Yeah, it ruins the flavor. The other thing that ruins it is moisture. My mom, we argued over this until the day she died. She wanted to keep her coffee in the freezer. Google this. Yep. Don't take my word for it. Google it. If you take your coffee in and out of the freezer, out of the refrigerator, it's that constant flux. This is what the Huffington Post said. It turns your beans bad really quickly and dulls the taste. The freezer or fridge creates temperature fluctuations, which causes even more moisture by creating condensation. The cell structure changes, which causes a loss of the oils that give coffee its aroma and flavor. The only time I read, according to the experts, that you can keep coffee in the freezer is if you buy it in bulk, which you shouldn't do anyway, and you keep it in there for a long period of time. And then when you're ready to use it, you take it out. Buy coffee as you need it. That's my new rule at church. We buy coffee for every event because I like fresh coffee. Okay, same thing. Ladies, what are you clothing yourself with? Can we look at the oxygen? What are we affected by? The world. Mm-hmm. The worldly ideas. Romans 13:14 says we're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to protect ourselves. We have to keep ourselves not insulated and isolated from the world, but we have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that when those stressful times come, otherwise we're not even going to know. Our coffee is ruined before we start because we have nothing protecting us from that. And number two, that moisture, you have to keep a constant temperature, which goes back to our first point. Where do we get that constant temperature?
Balance.
Yeah, balance and spending time. Ladies, we got to spend time in the world. I mean,
in the Word.
Spend time in the Word. Here's the thing, when stress comes, and I think you all know this, stress doesn't produce anything. Stress is a revealer of what is already there. When the stress of the press comes, I will not stumble. That's what 2 Peter tells us. When my spiritual temperature is constant and it is rich with the truth of God's word, that should say, if the beans are already ruined, the press merely reveals what's there. Stress is not the enemy, ladies. If you have too much stress in your life, you just simply need to reevaluate what's going on in your life. And if God is allowing difficult times in your life, then you need to ask God and allow God to help you respond to those situations in the right way. That's the joy that comes from spending time in the Word. You need to go home tonight and think, what am I thinking? What do I think about? Because if you're not thinking about the truths of God's Word, you're going to respond wrong to any situation. If you are a reader, which I am, one book that I would suggest is Quieting a Noisy Soul by Jim Burke. We just went through 24 sessions. If you are really, truly struggling with depression or stress or anything like this on a constant basis, I would highly, highly recommend his book, Quieting a Noisy Soul. We have noisy souls.
What's the author again?
Jim Berg.
Quieting
a Noisy Soul. He also has a smaller version of the book that's called My God is More Than Enough. Jim Berg, B-E-R-G, Berg. Quieting a Noisy Soul, My God is More Than Enough, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World, which I believe they have in the bookstore here. She takes kind of a humorous view of it, but ladies, we're supposed to have both. You know, it's kind of a humorous view of stress in our lives. It is by Joanna Weaver, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. And the other book that I would tell you that's been a huge help to me this year is The Armor of God by Priscilla Shire. It's through Lifeway Books. The Armor of God by Priscilla Shire. She also has a video. I think all of these actually have videos with them if you're interested in ordering the videos. But you know what? It comes down to the same thing. Every one of the sessions that you have heard, you know where it goes back to? The Word of God. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. You have to spend time in God's Word, and then you have to apply God's Word to your life, and then ask Him for wisdom, ladies. Don't allow the schemes and the wiles of the devil defeat you when you have the answers right here. But you have to put that in your mind in order to fight it on a daily basis.